Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Fierceness of the Mother Global Conference. Welcome, welcome. So I am your host, Jocelyn Mercado, and today I am so excited to speak with Teresa Pridemore. Welcome, Teresa.
Hi. Thank you for having me here. This is so exciting.
Yes, I am so glad to be talking with you today. And so as everyone is joining, please go ahead and put your name and location in the chat so that we can see where you're all calling in from. Always so wonderful to see everybody there. And so in this conference, we will gather for powerful conversations with both women and men to reveal and restore the ancient feminine ways of knowing. This event is designed to open up space for all of us to reinstate the principle of the continuance of life as our top priority. And here you are invited to tune into the guidance from the feminine force of creation and learn how this force can be used to revolutionize and revitalize our world. And so let me introduce Teresa to you all. Teresa Pridemore is a soul brand strategist and online visibility coach. She believes that soulful, high vibe visibility is not only the key to growing your business, but also to sharing your message and unlocking your full creative expression. Through Sovereign Spirit, her soul brand mentorship and online strategy consultancy, Teresa helps growing leaders to fully claim their genius by addressing the deeper challenges that spirit-led entrepreneurs face and establishing a soul-aligned path that invites you to go bigger with your expression, service, and thriving. And Teresa, I'm so excited about your topic for today, which is sacred archetypes to cultivate power from within. And I want to dive into that with you. And first, I do want to open up sacred space for this global group that we have coming together that we'll be sharing with. So I have some sage here, and I invite everybody to, if you have a candle, light a candle. I have a candle, you know, back here, or burn some sage or Palo Santo. And go ahead and just close your eyes and really deepen into your awareness. And as you are just breathing and welcoming yourself into this sacred space of our global community, I'm sending some sage smoke out to all of you to bless and purify our sacred space that we are sharing here. And I invite you to take a deep breath in. Just breathe in fully, fill your lungs all the way up. And then release that breath all the way. And be aware that as you breathe out, you are releasing any fears, any doubts, any limiting beliefs that you no longer need. Just let them all go. And then take another deep breath in and be aware that you're breathing in the beautiful abundance of sunlight and oxygen and all those wonderful things that the universe sends us every day, every moment. And then release that breath fully. And we call upon our guides, our ancestors, our angels, our power animals to come into this space with us and really support us, to protect us, to help us to receive the information from this talk and from all the other talks in the conference, whatever is most important for you to receive. We ask our guides to open each of us up to be fully present and fully receive this beautiful information that's being shared. And so with that, go ahead and take one more deep breath in, filling your lungs up all the way. And then release that breath fully. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and come back fully present here with us. So, Teresa, to begin, could you share with us, what are archetypes and how can archetypes support us and support us as women in stepping out for greater visibility?
Thank you so much. Thank you first for that amazing ritual. I feel really grounded. I appreciate that. I'm gonna do way better now. I feel like I'm gonna receive much better information today, thanks to you leading that ceremony. Thank you. So archetypes, you know, there's so many different kind of philosophies and understandings about archetypes. You know, at the core, the way I look at archetypes as kind of this astral mock-up of an energy signature that we can access at any time, you know, and we have a lot of common archetypes. You know, archetypes I talk about are like the queen and the priestess. You were definitely modeling the priestess just a moment ago, very in such a lovely way. Thank you. The trickster, you know, coyote energy. There's the seer, the healer. There's all kinds of, you know, more general archetypes. And then, of course, you know, we look at gods and goddesses, mythological figures, you know, people from like Peter Pan is an archetype, right? There's all kinds of ways that we tap into archetypes. I always talk about David Bowie as an archetype, right? He's kind of an archetype all unto himself, plus several, many sub-archetypes as well, if you really think about it. And, you know, so archetypally, we can connect to these bigger archetypes. And then I think that as individuals, we also represent certain archetypes. When we think of a certain person, they don't, you know, they can be larger than life in our world, whether or not they are in the greater world. We respond to things about them that are calling forth these, you know, greater truths in us that are kind of in living, I say, in the astral realm. They're kind of like little programs we can plug into from time to time. And I think that utilizing archetypes, we can, as women in business, step out onto our edge, using archetypes as a way to kind of expand our edge, to expand our leading edge, to fully honor the bigger energies in us, you know, because we can get so mired down in the day-to-day, just trying to get by or trying to push against things and achieve the things we want to achieve, that we forget that bigger part of us. You know, of course, the most expanded part of us is source, is, you know, goddess, god energy that we can access at the highest level. And then there are these different energetic archetypes that we can intentionally plug into at any given time to create a certain kind of outcome. And sometimes if we step into, you know, for me, like an edge is the performer archetype. I have this alter ego that I'm exploring called Lady Doom, which, you know, we'll talk about today, but she requires me to be more of an actress, you know? And so that's my edge is stepping into the performer. And your edge might be something you're not totally comfortable with, but it's still a part of you already, whether or not you believe it yet. And by accessing the archetype, you can step into it with more power and kind of step around the problems or the challenges, the stumbling blocks that we normally face. But ultimately, I think archetypes are about being intentional about what you are calling up from your myriad selves. We're all made up of so many components and elements and sub-archetypes, if you will. We can call things up with intention to be in the greatest service to the plans and the things that we do want to create as magicians on this plane of existence.
Yeah, wonderful. I love, there's so much here, right? There's so many directions I want to go. But I love this idea of using the archetypes to bring out aspects of ourselves that we have inside, but that we haven't been using a lot, right? Or that we haven't been using to the fullest level. I know for me, early on in my kind of spiritual growth, I worked with a mentor who encouraged me to really embody the queen archetype. Mm-hmm. And that was just a whole new thing for me to be, you know, to think of myself as this, you know, it's kind of like very dignified, like the one who is, you know, not giving orders, but like delegating with love, you know.
Right.
There's so much love there, love for all the other people in the kingdom,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's co-creative. Really, it doesn't have to, there's the shadow side of the queen, right, which is the tyrant. Which actually I do want to talk about at some point today. And then there's the you know, embodied light version of the queen, which is the, you know, the side that is about co-creation and co-creating an empire that serves all, you know?
Yes. Yes, yeah. Exactly. So that was really powerful for me early on in my whole process. And so yeah, this is big, and this is something we really, really all need to tune in from, or tune into, you know. Could you talk about this idea that's in your title of power from within, and how is that revolutionary for us at this time?
Yeah. So I learned about the concept of power from within from Starhawk's book, Dreaming the Dark. I remember when a dear friend of mine handed me this book. She's like, I don't know why, but I'm supposed to give you this book. And I read it, and I was blown away by a lot of the concepts within. But there were specifically these things that she defined in the book, which are three kinds of power, right? So there's the power over, which is referring to domination and control, which we associate with the traditional kind of patriarchal mock-up of how we run our society. There's the power from within, which, you know, I want to talk about the most, which is personal ability and spiritual integrity and, you know, kind of cultivating that inner relationship, right? And that's where I like to use archetypes a lot, is to help cultivate that power from within so you feel more effective in the world. Because there's that third kind of power, which is power with. And so that's sharing power with others. It's pertaining to social power and influence among equals. And when we go into power with, we are truly co-creative, right? There's no one person over another. You know, you're talking about the queen archetype. You're not elevating you might be in charge. You might have a vision that you're leading with, right? But you're acknowledging that everyone there is source energy, you know, that we're all come from the same place. We have the same amount of power, ability to create what we want to in the world. We're all equals. It's just that I'm taking on this role of the queen. I'm stepping into this archetype because that's what this job requires. That's what I want to achieve requires someone to step into this particular role. So I that's one, like, talking about the queen, I love. It's interesting. I was going to ask you, I'm curious, like, when you now, like, that you have stepped into the queen, like, do you find that there are other archetypes that are your edge that you're, like, more focused on now? Like, you're like, oh yeah, the queen, that's part of who I am. You might revisit that from time to time to, like, recultivate a new relationship with it. But do you find now that you're more interested in other archetypes now that you've embodied that one?
Yes, no. Definitely. Yeah. And the priestess is one that I've been working with, especially over the last year or so, you know, really, really stepping into that space.
Yeah. I find that that's interesting because I feel like that is something I'm really noticing in the zeitgeist of the communities that I am within is the priestess is rising up, you know, giving ourselves permission to trust our instinct to hold sacred space, to create sacred space, to create a container and to value that. And that's something I talked about last time we chatted, and in your last conference, online conference, we were talking about the priestess and the queen and how, you know, the queen is there to cultivate and resource the priestess so the priestess can do her work with greater effectiveness, you know. So, you know, I love thinking about how archetypes help us cultivate that power inside of ourselves, you know, because I think that, you know, for us to have power with and to be able to co-create effectively with others, we have to have a sense of inner power. That power from within has to be strong. We have to be able to resource ourselves, not in the sense that we don't rely on other people in any shape or form, but how we allow ourselves to co-create really has to come from a place of inner strength in order for it, what shows up in the world, the co-creations, the co-creative life force energy showing up in our picture has to match our high vibration, right? Or we want it to match our high vibration. So when we cultivate that power from within, we put ourselves in a position to be able to manifest more ideal outcomes in our life for ourselves and for other people. And, you know, I think it's revolutionary because, yes, we're making progress on this, but I think that women have been taught that they don't have sufficient inner power. Like, we are taught to see ourselves as disempowered in some way, you know, and that can manifest in all manner of ways. And I feel like that in and of itself could be like an hour-long talk, but I don't even really want to focus on it. I mostly want, like, us to go, screw that. Like, I'm
moving past all that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm over here and I'm creating this and I'm choosing to create this and I'm stepping outside of that. And that's another place where archetypes are powerful because, you know, we can push against the problem or we can go, I'm actually going to step into this higher energy that is beyond the problem. And that archetype already exists. It's already in the astral. It's been made. It's been reinforced by you know, people like us for centuries, right? Putting that positive juju into those archetypes. And we get to, you know, tarot is like full of archetypes, right? It's also accessing all that archetypal information, right? And so we can just plug into that and go, I'm going to be the queen. I'm not going to sit here in the smallness of the problem. I'm going to go into the bigness of the energy of the queen and see a path to co-creation that leaves me empowered, right? And strong. So that's like one example where I think we can actually reinforce our inner power through the use of an archetype. And then that power with is really strong. And we're really almost just kind of turning our back, not turning our back to in the sense that we're ignoring the kind of the old patriarchal ways, kind of just laughing at it. You know, I think that laughter and kind of just that mockery of that, I don't know, that's a very shamanic kind of idea, I think, you know, just going, putting on a mask and doing a dance and making a play out of it and going, that is ridiculous. Look at that. That's ridiculous. Why would we do that? Let's do this over here instead. Right. Yeah. So I think that it puts us into a better place of power, and then we can have more of an impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this knowing, this knowledge that we can choose,
right.
It goes along with what you said about the, you know, looking at it in a shamanic way. We get to choose something, right. Get to look at this old way and acknowledge this is not working for me anymore.
Right.
You know, or this is disempowering me and many others. Mm-hmm. So yes, we're going to choose something different, and we're going to step into that in a really powerful way.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I would love to hear more about Lady Doom, if you're willing to share. I think, you know, this whole idea of, cause I feel like that's you like really stepping into your edge, right?
Yeah.
Tell me if you agree. And and it makes me think of like, what would be my like really, really edge archetype, you know, but could you share with us about that and how you work with her? Yeah.
Yeah. So Lady Doom is a character that appeared like way over a decade ago. I was in my 20s in this like creative thing that a boss was wanting us all to do. And I made these little videos with this character. And she is a kind of an ineffectual supervillain, if you will. and it's funny because she's changed over the years, and I finally found like this outlet for her. She kept coming back and I would, you know, reprise the role for some weird situation here and there. And she changed. I realized that she is a part of me, right? in a way. She's that shadow side that I get to, through this character, work with in a really direct way. And I find that it's really interesting to play with our, so she's going to eventually create this online course called She. Now, see, I'm already referring to her in the third person. She is almost like this other persona. I like to pretend like she and I are definitely two separate people, and sometimes we're at odds with each other. So pardon me if I got to do the she thing, but she's going to be creating this course on embracing your inner evil genius, right? Wow. And actually, I mean, that is the work. I find that when it comes to each of us and the things that we shame into the closet, you know, where we say we're too much, where we say it's not okay to do that or be that, you know, sometimes those stories are rooted in our integrity, right? They're rooted in our sense of what's right and what's wrong, and in our sense, personal sense of morality. And sometimes they're rooted in stories of limitation that we've been fed or absorbed or chosen to take on for whatever reason. And so I find that exploring through her the extremes, it actually helps me integrate the parts of me that actually do need to be larger than life, that do need to take up space. You know, just because I'm taking up space sometimes doesn't mean I'm not giving other people room to take up space. You know, I create all kinds of experiences in my world. I create experiences where I get to have the stage and, you know, where other people have the stage. So Lady Doom, she likes to be called an uber villain. Super villain is too limiting for her. She's the uber villain. And I'm going to be developing a web series for her next year. And in the meantime, she does have an Instagram presence that will be, if you follow her on Instagram, it's going to get more and more interesting over the next few months as we build the platform. So it's at the Lady Doom. I had my 40th birthday this year, and she kidnapped me and showed up and crashed the party 30 minutes into the party. So everyone's wondering where I am. And then here Lady Doom comes in, big, crazy, you know, black wig, crazy outfit, black lipstick, and just dominates everything and says, you know, I kidnapped Teresa so I can ruin her 40th birthday. And of course I was nervous. I didn't show it, right? I was being Lady Doom, but it was a big hit. And the thing is, Lady Doom takes up space. She's loud. She thinks that her way is the right way. She is interested in getting minions, not so much in being one, obviously, right? So she's always trying to enlist people to her cause, whether or not it's you know, the best cause or not, right? But actually, deeply, it's funny because there's this other part of her. She's an avid feminist. She's an ecologist. Like, she actually humanity kind of stinks, but she loves the earth, you know, like there's this funny duality to her too. And, you know, she kind of, it's funny, like she pulls her from by her bootstraps. She's really, scrappy, and she is a coach, right? She coaches people to be, evil coaches, which is so fun. Cause I also get to play with like some of the shadow side of the coaching world and explore that. Kind of be in, it helps me be in integrity because I get to go, yeah, look at that. Like, that is ridiculous. Let's not do that. You know, so it's really fun. But what she's taught me is that I can take up more space, that I can have, you know, a vision and be very direct in it and just say, this is what I want. This is who I want on my team. You know, that's the light side of what she's doing, right? And I get to integrate now because I'm stretching it out further than it was before. You know, the permission is out a little further where it actually should be, you know, instead of me going, oh, I can't take up too much space. Oh, I can't trample on other people. It's hiding, actually. It's putting my light under a bushel, so to speak. And I see, you know, people do that all the time, you know, so that's where shadow, working with the shadow can really help expand consciousness, I think.
Yeah, I love that. I love it so much. I think this should be homework for everybody listening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who is your alter ego, right? Yeah. What archetype can you create that will take you to your edge in all these different ways?
I think. Yeah. What is it okay not to be? What is it not okay to be? Like, what if the stories have you made up about what you're not allowed to do, say, or be? And just go right in there and like get all that stuff out. Just judge the heck out of yourself so that you can bring it up and then go, actually do like a little Byron Katie on it. Is that true? Is that true? Is that true? You know, it's really interesting. I love doing this exercise with people saying, so what aren't you allowed to do? Like, what would be too much? Yeah. And then say, what would that look like? You know, what kind of mannerisms would you have? What would your voice be like if you were really going into that? I'm actually going to be hosting next year an event called Alter Ego Academy. One day I will host, the next day Lady Doom will be the teacher.
That'll be fun. Okay. That's, well, everybody, you know,
I get excited.
Claim Teresa's free gift and get on her email list so you will not miss that when it happens.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing all that. Yeah,
thank you for asking. I, as you can see, I have too much fun talking about Lady Doom. Like, that's just, it's now I got to actually just go be Lady Doom for a while.
Yes. Well, so, and this is all, this plays in so beautifully with like the fierceness, you know, and the fierceness and fearlessness, I feel like it's such a core of what we're all talking about in this sense, right? So how can we really, really bring that forward? This is such a great way.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, you know, being fierce on behalf of the earth as well, could you share with us your philosophy on how we can all have a greater impact in supporting the earth at this time?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that, you know, kind of coming back to like looking at what something like a Lady Doom personality might do for you, right? It's actually finding a way to tap into the power of our sacred rebel. And, you know, and instead of like, again, not pushing against things, but more like defining what edge we're creating, like where are we wanting to see progress made? What are we going to be a revolutionary about? Right. And, you know, claiming more of our power, because I think that, again, women have been traditionally kind of taught that our role is to be, to sacrifice and to give and to keep giving, to keep giving. And we've been told like that's the model of the sacred feminine. And And it's kind of goes back to like when I think Elizabeth Gilbert talked about the saint and martyr mock-up. You know, we need to step away from that, those archetypes, because they're not actually serving us. And they're all about depletion, right? They're ultimately about us depleting ourselves to be in service to others. And that's not how you serve anybody. You can't serve anyone from a depleted place. You can't, you know, soil that is not, does not have nutrients, does not have water, cannot grow a plant, right? If we kind of go back to the wisdom of the earth. And so it's up to us right now to choose a new mock-up and to kind of let go of that old idea and not get from an unbalanced place. You know, we need to be resourced, and we need to let our queen and priestess be in support of each other, you know, and stop saying that money isn't spiritual. Because that's not even what it's not even what it's about, you know. Like, that's actually the wrong conversation, I believe. We want to start cultivating our own resources so we can engage in the world of commerce and be a part of how it evolves into something more healthy. And we can pay the people that are doing the work we want to see done in the world. We can support the causes we care about. We can be the queen creating the larger institution that's going to do the work. But you can't do it if you're not resourced. You know, and I think it doesn't matter what kind of work we're doing in the world, we can choose to come at it from a place of how does my work impact the earth, whether it is raising consciousness that in people that are going to directly do the impact work, whether it's about weaving some form of activism and support for the earth and what we do. Coming at it from a place of power from within, we realize, A, I get to nourish and resource myself, so that B, I can actually be in greater service and have more of a creative look, outlook on how I can actually have that impact. So I think it is pretty revolutionary to go back to that power from within model and look at like how are we cultivating that power from within, because that's when we get to actually have greater impact and be in greater service to people.
Yeah, definitely. And this, I love this, because this came up on from my talk this morning. There was somebody from the audience who spoke up and said, you know, about this idea of we need to recharge, take care of our bodies. We need to do movement. We need to have good nutrition and vitamins and, you know, all these things in order to do that work. And it's so important, because we do, especially as women, we fall into this, like you said, the saint or the martyr.
Right.
So easily, like that's what we're trained to be.
Right. Right.
That's what we're trained to be from the time we're little kids.
And I think we fall for the idea that that's like part of our makeup or wiring or physical wiring even somehow, you know, whether that's in stories of like, we're supposed to be more giving, don't take too much, give more, like women are wired to give, you know, I'm like, well, we are. And is that an empowered kind of giving? You know, what's the energy of the giving that we're doing? You know, and another thing that I think about is that I think that kind of coming back to money really quickly, because I don't want to lose this thread, is that we tend to think of money as masculine and associate it with a man's world, sort of. I mean, really, like in the way that we get rebellious about, like, you know, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to make money because that means X, Y, and Z. Even if it, at certain levels, it might mean money is evil altogether, or at other levels, it might mean the more money I make, the more responsibility I have to manage it. I don't want all that responsibility, right? Like, there's different levels of how this shows up. I think that I like the idea of women being curious about how money moves, because that's, money is, in my view, innately feminine. And money, because it's about, the sacred feminine is about flow. Money wants to flow. Money wants to amplify and expand. And I think the toxic masculine way of looking at money has been to like control, hold the money. And the masculine is about actually creating the container for the money. The sacred, in its sacred form, is creating the sacred container for the money, or the mechanisms by which money flows. And I think when the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine are working together in the realm of money, that money gets to do the job it was meant to do. It's part of creative substance. It's just another like manifestation of creative substance and movement of ideas and all kinds of things, right? Not just goods. And I think if we take ourselves out of that conversation as women, then we're kind of letting it slide into a place we don't necessarily want it to go. And so it's up to us to kind of be a part of the evolution of money toward what I think on a higher frequency level it wants to be, and to do it in service to the earth, right? In the service of the earth.
Yes, definitely. This is so important. There's so much wounding around money, and it has a lot to do with the earth, because we see money being used to harm the earth, or like as an excuse for all these things that are happening. And so, yeah, really, really shifting that into this higher vibration, higher perception of what is possible around our resources. This could be a whole other hour long conversation.
I know, right? Yeah. But it's again, like coming back to archetypes, like what kind of energy are we accessing when we're engaging in the energy of money and commerce? You know, are we doing it from a place of the queen, where we're seeing money as this opportunity to resource our vision, our vision in service of the earth and the people on the earth and the animals and plants on the earth? And are we seeing it as a tool for co-creation, right? I love the idea of having a lot of money and hiring brilliant women who help me see in a wider, more expansive way than I could see on my own, because I'm not going to be able to see everything. So yeah, kind of stepping out of that lone wolf paradigm too. I think that's something money can let us do, help us to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Well, so with this idea of, okay, so we don't want to be saints and martyrs anymore.
Right.
Like what? So, what are the? We've talked about queen and priestess, but what are the specific archetypes that you see that can be really powerful for us to step into as women that can help us on this journey?
I feel like obviously the priestess and the queen, you know, giving ourselves permission to share our healing gifts and to hold a container and space for transformation to happen is a really important one. And to see that as valuable, right? To access our queen and seeing that as a valuable thing to share. Sometimes I feel like healers, you know, healer is another archetype. They just kind of access the energy differently. Healer and a seer and a priestess, you know, kind of have different ways of accessing similar energies. But I think that when we access our priestess and we hold space for her and we honor her as valuable, because that's the thing, I don't think that we don't always honor that as valuable. We think that's the thing that's supposed to be given away. Mm. And maybe in the past, you know, the priestess was given her temple, you know, so to speak. I think that's oversimplifying, overgeneralizing. It's a little bit of a mythology, but still, you know, she was basically in essence given the temple, being been supported maybe by the community that she was in some really, you know, a key way. And we have to be our own queens to create that temple for ourselves at this point. We have to determine that that is of value. And the queen, of course, you know, being unafraid in a world of commerce, being determined to set the energy in that world of how, you know, can money flow in a way that is actually in harmony with the earth and not disconnected. You know, and I think the one that I talk about, I find myself more and more digging into is the sacred rebel, because I think that we're also, I'm sure that people in your community are like this too, like we're the rebellious ones, we're the misfits, and we push against the paradigm. And polarity, of course, is a whole other topic, right? But we can be in polarity with something and not, and then we're not in the energy of actually being in the solution. And I think when we're in a rebel archetype, what happens a lot is that we tend to rebel against ourselves at the end of the day. Like we grew up, we rebelled against this thing. Now we feel like we've got our power. And then we keep rebelling against ourselves because we're so used to being a rebel, you know? And so we turn our queen, our inner queen, into a tyrant. We say, I'm gonna do this big thing. I got a plan. I'm gonna go for it. And you follow along, and then you just decide, no, that's BS. Like, that's inauthentic. I'm not doing that. Even though it felt really right and nourishing, like, a moment before. And I feel like that's our rebel kind of kicking up a fuss and saying, like, you know what, never mind. I don't listen to authority. That's not me. Right. You know, and so I like to talk about the sacred rebel, which is like taking that trickster energy and applying it in a really positive way. Saying, okay, I'm going to give my sacred rebel a sacred job to do. You know, where do I apply this revolutionary attitude? And then can I also still listen to my own authority and have some self-authority? So that's another archetype that I find that I work with a lot, because that's where that resistance shows up. It shows up in the rebel.
and rebelling against ourselves a lot. And so taking that and transmuting that into a more positive application, I think, is important.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Love it. So what do you think is the most important mindset shift that women could make to have the greatest impact in our world today?
Yeah, I think especially notice among the light workers and the change makers in my world that if we can just remember that our work has the power to actually positively benefit the earth and the people in our communities, and not get waylaid by, you know, the grief that we feel about the direction things seem to go in. Definitely honor and feel the grief that we have. It's not, you don't ever want to deny that. But also, you know, I think that I see people be tempted to give up on their core gifts because they think it doesn't actually have any real application in the healing of the earth and in supporting the earth and supporting people in a meaningful way. That's a kind of a story that can happen early on in business, and it can pop up at different stages too. Yeah. And I think it sidetracks people. Like, you do have core gifts that are natural to you that are showing up already right now. And pay attention to what the world is calling forth from you and what the people in your community are calling forth from you from a place of power, from power within, right? From a place of honoring what you want to do too. It's like, again, not doing it because you think you're supposed to do it, but like noticing where you and your gifts and your passions meet the world and that kind of beautiful Venn diagram where they cross over. Yeah. And then honoring that there's a way in that to be of use to the earth, you know, to support the earth, and really pay attention to how you're doing that. Amplify what you can, you know, but don't see the things that you're seeing out there that are discouraging, that are disappointing, as a reason to stop honoring your gifts. I feel like it can really diffuse people that are actually on a trajectory of having a tremendous amount of impact, but they see the problem is so big and they don't feel like they can do enough for it. And so they sidetrack themselves for a little while, you know, or a long while, because they want to feel like they're actually making a difference. You know, yeah. And I think just honor that you are making a difference, and how can you amplify that? Yeah. Amplify that. That's what I would say. That's a big mindset shift that I've been noticing that I want to call out lately.
Yeah. I think we have to really be able to live in this paradox of knowing that, you know, there is the grief and the, mm-hmm. and, you know, all the feelings that we have about the earth being harmed. And then at the same time, like, we have to let ourselves experience that, but also we have to come back to our power so that mm-hmm. we can take action, because the more and more and more of us who take action, then we will find the solutions to these things, you know? Yeah. So,
yeah, even a consciousness, I mean, I'm all about action. I think action is important, but creating consciousness shifts is creating the next wave of ideas. We're putting all this energy into the astral, really, that's getting into the vortex, so to speak, you know, and it's getting like translated in different ways with people who have the capacity to create solutions. You know, my gift isn't, my mother was a scientist. And my gift isn't the sciences. I have tried, you know.
Yes.
I'm an artist. You know, that's another one of my archetypes. I'm an artist. I'm a creator in a different way. And I have, and I'm a teacher, and I'm a coach, right? And I have to honor I can influence other people and put ideas out through my consciousness shift, through holding space for something leading edge and beyond what we can imagine now. Holding space for that is contributing something. And then, of course, in my day-to-day work, the actual action I take is working with people who have the power to make change and helping them believe in their visions enough to actually go through it and be visible for it and show up for what they care about, you know? So finding the thread, and everyone has that thread, but, you know, if we're not acknowledging that it's there and really honoring what we're bringing to the table in terms of this, you know, conversation, this energetic conversation, in addition to the actual physical conversation, then we're not amplifying that energy, you know, it's just kind of lying dormant.
Yeah, this is such an important point. I'm so glad you said this because I use the word action, you know, which feels very outward and like I'm going out and making things happen. But, you know, this, the inner work that we do. So if we're healing ourselves, right? Or if, like you said, we're creating a consciousness shift either within ourselves or sending that out into the collective. I mean, that is some of the very most important work that we can do. You know, I kind of like internally, I see those things as actions, you know,
right.
And I understand how we use that word, but it's, I really do. I see those as like such important actions that we need to be taking. So, yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So, well, one more question that I have for you is what is the one action that's most important for us when we're building a business or a movement or a revolution or whatever it may be?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the most important thing is to make connections and not to isolate, you know. It can be tempting, you know, it can be easy to do, especially for rebels, especially if you're in a place where you're not sure where the other yous are at, right, in your physical world. But, you know, just start small if you need to. But I think it's important to build community spaces for the things you care about, and you can do this online. You can do it in person, creating discussion groups or book groups. You can create your own networking groups. You know, this can happen anywhere. If you're in a place where you don't feel like there are other people like you, I guarantee you there are other people like you out there. You can create those spaces yourself online and start creating the communities that you want to see. I have a monthly group I host locally called the Sovereign Salon, and it's, you know, about 7 people show up every time, and we have these incredible discussions around the expansion of consciousness for ourselves and for the world. And I think everyone comes away a little richer and more ready to take action because we feel seen and witnessed and validated for who we are. And just that the act of being validated and witnessed is like one of the most important healing things you can do. And if you can't find those experiences in your world, create them. You know, be the facilitator for the kinds of changes you want to see. They happen in these little ripples, you know, of just this consciousness expansion that can happen. And I think it's important, you know, at certain levels, when you're at certain levels, to start really thinking about investing in coaching containers that are going to support the higher level expansion that you want to step into. You know, you want to surround yourself with people who are going to be doing that next level thing that you want to be doing. Especially when it comes to women, like working alongside women who are actually more confident with money than you are, or they have other skills that you're cultivating, wisdom you're cultivating, being in their presence is really important. It seems like it's like, really, is that it? And it's like, no, actually the frequency, being in frequency or a container with other people at a high frequency that you are stepping into more is really, really important. So I recommend, even if you don't go into a coaching container, like create a mastermind group, you know, create with women that are operating or people are operating at the level that you want to operate at, you know, it can be really transformative to create connection and community in every way, from investing in that and to just creating your own, the experiences that you want to see and you want to feel in your world more.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for this. I think so many people are feeling, and probably many people listening, we start to feel isolated because our ideas are different from our friends and family or from the others in our community that we know. And this has been something that I've seen, and it's very hard to believe before you see it happen, but those others that are like you, they are there. They are closer than you think, you know.
100%.
And you can find them and you can reach them. But yeah, creating a space, whether it's locally or online or whatever, that it is such a powerful.
Facebook groups are great. You know, I think sometimes we can resist them in the early stages because it's like, oh, it's noise. It's more just another Facebook group. And it's like, no, there's some power in creating a community around a thought or an idea or a vibration, you know, and adding to things and not being isolated, but like saying, okay, I'm raising my hand and saying, hey, who wants to come over here and hang out at my picnic table, you know?
Yes.
Or my picnic blanket, like actually is more what I was picturing, you know, let's just have a snack and chat.
Yeah, definitely. And then that's your tribe, you know, and it will grow.
100%. It's so fun. I never imagined, I've been running, someone in the, Laura is in the posting the comment, she comes to my local salon, and she said that a blog post came out of our last gathering. You know, it's funny, like, it can seem like, really, does it, I mean, that's nice and all, but it's just a party. And it's like, no, it's that. I never realized how powerful just creating community would be for growing my business, for helping me create the things I want to create in the world, and just feeling, I don't know, charged up and fulfilled and like ready to do more. It's really, it can be really enlivening. And, you know, I came from a place, I had some really dear friends growing up in Mississippi, so I don't want to dishonor them, but for the most part, I didn't feel like I had a lot of community or people that got me. So I've seen bit by bit that change. And once you start on that journey of inviting more of that in and believing that more of those people out there, then you just, that just grows and grows and grows and grows. It just gets better and better, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, I know that you have a fantastic free gift for our audience, which is the High Vibe Visibility Secrets e-course.
Yeah.
You can say it better than I can, so I'll let you say a few words about that.
Yeah, totally. So I created this right now it's a 6-video course. It may shift in the future, but it's basically a week-long video training course designed for spirit-led entrepreneurs to help them amplify their brand, expand earning potential, and to feel more prepared to be powerfully visible for their passion. So, you know, really it's like, we all know that we need to be more visible for our businesses to reach our ideal clients, but that's like, there's a whole energetic game to that, an inner work that has to be done to really be ready for that and to really value the work that you do, in the way that's going to actually help you have the impact you want to have. You know, it goes beyond just getting paid what you deserve. It's like, no, at a certain level, it allows you to create the actual impact you want to create. So I created this to kind of go through the things, the most common things that I see needing some reframe or mindset shifts about for healers, coaches, and practitioners who are on the leading edge, who desire to expand and grow their business and know that they need to step into more visibility to do that. So I created that course. Go to highvibevisibilitysecrets.com and sign up there. And you'll get my free course. It's pretty juicy. It's got some exercises as well, and it drips out over the course of a week.
Okay. Awesome. Yes. And I know that anything that you create is top-notch quality. So I'm sure.
Thank you.
Amazing. And so for everybody who's on live with us now, I just put the link to claim that in the chat. So you can go and just click on that, claim it from there. And for anyone who's watching this as a replay, just scroll down a little bit below the video screen and you will see the link there. So I hope everybody will run and grab that right away. So, well, thank you, Teresa. This has been so fantastic. And I want to open it up for questions from our audience and see what additional questions and insights people may be having as they're listening. So for everybody listening, there are a few ways you can submit your questions. One is just to type them into the chat if you would like to. Another way, which is the best way, I think, is to raise your hand and become visible, since we're talking about high vibe visibility. If you raise your hand, you can come on over. I'll bring you over to talk to me and Teresa, and you can either leave your video on, which is wonderful, or you can leave your video off and be audio only. Either way is fine. So if you have any questions, go ahead and raise your hand. And this can also be to share insights and comments. So, yeah.
And I'm loving all the comments, y'all. I've been watching them as we go. They're fabulous.
Okay, so Erhard, let me bring you over, and then Julie, you will be next. All right, let me unmute you. There we go. Okay, hi Erhard, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I think it's a mistake. I have not raised my hand.
Oh, you didn't? Oh,
okay. I think I put the marker. Oh, I just went over it with the marker, and then it might have reacted on that.
Well, I guess we just need to say hi to you. Hi.
Yes, hi. Hi to you both.
Okay, thank you for attending live, and see you again soon.
Thank you, Jess.
I love it.
That's funny. That happened in the earlier session too. I wonder if there's like a new update to Zoom. I wonder if
I think so.
More easy to do that by accident. So, Julie, let me bring you over.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, Julie. Welcome.
Thanks. I just wanted to say I'm so glad I resisted my urge to not listen today. And because it's been so perfect, because a friend and I have formed a women's circle recently, and we've kept it very open and organic, but for some basic ritual that we're doing. And we had a discussion last night, and we're feeling sort of not lost, but just like we're floating, and you put words to so many so many thoughts and feelings and things that I couldn't articulate, and I'm getting goosebumps right now because it's like if we just stick with this, it's going to organically grow. Yeah. And I had just sent a message to my friend saying, well, maybe we need a larger circle around us, you know, these other resources, instead of feeling like, I realized we're trying to do it by ourselves, mm-hmm. even though we're trying to be in this empowerment thing. So I just wanted to say a very big thank you. And I'm sending this to the whole group, and everybody listen. And I just huge thanks. And you're speaking my language. And, you know, I turned 60 on Thursday. And
happy birthday.
I'm kind of weird about it, but I had a rockin' party on Friday or Saturday. And it's just that stage of life stuff too. It's like, where am I going from here? And versus where culturally, societally, we're being told this is what you do. And even though I'm an artist and feel like I don't fit in, in a lot of ways, have a lot of friends that are, you know, that I love but don't really relate to,
right?
At this level. So I'm just so grateful, and I just feel like this is going to guide so much, and it's just validated the work I do, and it's just given me this infusion of energy that I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go to my studio. Okay, do this.
Yay. Yeah, that's so awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing all of that. You know, I find myself thinking about a few things, you know, like for one, you were speaking to creating a container in this group, right? And I learned a lot more about how to run energy in a group and facilitate the energy of a group by investing in a variety of different experiences where I got to see a high level of energy held, you know? So I just want to say, like, I feel like you were actually kind of speaking to that, like talking about having a greater community supporting you. You learn so much from osmosis, for one, you know, but that's like an energetic thing too. Like seeing how people model energy and going, oh, I can do that. Or taking little tools and things away from experiences and integrating that. You know, especially if that's part of that container is trying to model that for you, right? You're not just taking someone else's methodology and applying it without permission, right? But it can be really effective. And I have to say, like, in terms of like creating that community, feels like there's always an investment involved. For me, you know, I felt called to come to the West Coast and come to Portland from Mississippi early on. And you know, that feels like risky business, creating a new community, however you do it, whether you're moving across country to a new city, or you're just putting your shingle out and saying, hey, fellow misfits, please come show up, you know, it feels risky. Yeah. It takes a lot of just kind of stepping in and going, okay, I'm going to be in trust that my intention will be realized and this alignment, you know, I can cultivate this alignment with my community. I can create that community.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you for validating that even the energy we, you know, the powerful, the energy, the vibration we do things with and the consciousness shifting, it really does matter. And it's too easy to, in the day-to-day to, and the this and that to forget that.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you so much.
Balance of that, right? Because we're, you know, I think that the where we try to be in integrity about it is we don't want to use it as an excuse to do nothing, right? Yeah. There's that, and I actually align with that. You know, there's a point at which it can turn into that, But I also think when we talk about that, we don't, you can do both. It's like a yes and, right?
Yeah.
One is more effective when you cultivate the other, I think.
Yeah. Well, and I, sorry. I have a lot more ideas and enthusiasm than I have energy. Mm-hmm. Though I'm healthier at almost 60 than I was at 30, I've survived 4 potentially life-threatening illnesses.
Wow.
But I keep reminding myself that it's not about doing it alone. I'm still struggling with that, thinking I have to do it by myself.
Right.
And that's one of the things in this circle is we're sharing leadership even and establishing like a core of strength. And I don't know. Anyway, well, I can go on for a long time, but
yeah, well, there's a capacity thing there too. You're talking about health, you know, your health, your physical health. And I think that that is another thing that we can fall into is thinking that we should do more. And it's like, no, work within your capacity. That's fine. You know, like no reason to get depleted. And you're right. Because creating community is a way to amplify the effect of what you do want to create and do in the world.
Yeah.
Having to deplete yourself.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for all your sharing and for bringing and being brave and raising your hand.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Julie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a beautiful day.
You too.
Thanks. Okay, so next up is Heidi. Let me bring you over, Heidi. Trying to unmute you here. Okay, there we go. Hello, Heidi. How are you?
Hi there. Sorry, I wasn't looking to be seen, but that's fine.
Looks fabulous.
Yeah. It doesn't really matter.
No.
I wanted to just acknowledge a couple of things that have been spoken about. One, that part of when I'm listening to the conversation is we're also really talking about changing how the archetypes function. And that is really important to acknowledge because they've functioned through duality in the past. And when you're talking about, the rebel versus looking at that energy, rather than looking at how do they function, how do these archetypes function in a global or unified state within us? And then they become a manifested reality through life and how we live. So those were what I heard in the whisperings of your conversation, and I appreciate that. But I just wanted to highlight what I heard.
Bringing it to the forefront and really naming it. I appreciate that. That's brilliant. And actually, I hadn't thought of putting it that way. So thank you for speaking those perfect words.
Because we're in this place, and I will just say one more thing. We're in a period of time right now where as the energies that are primal become more purified and clarified, then the possibility of having new archetypical energies formulate and then become realized through an individuation of beingness. I don't know how to put it in any other terminology. That's actually our work right now on the planet. And for me, the divine feminine is an empty space of potential. So when we really hold that space of potentiality, we actually hold the entire galaxy and solar system within us. It's not separate from us.
Right.
And I recognize that most of humanity is not at that level, and that's fine. It doesn't really matter. If that potential becomes recognized and clarified through just how we live our lives and how if we're doing business, that we're doing business from a model that comes from that place rather than a personalized place. Because the archetypes have been personalized in the past. And that's an okay thing, although the whole thing about moving towards a global realization means that they have to take a different place within us. And for us to realize that becomes a much bigger dynamic flow. Mm-hmm. And those that can step forward and do that, fabulous. If you're still working through that personal place, that's okay too, but to recognize there's a place beyond that. And that mm-hmm. place is recognizing the oneness of who we are as we speak, that we're speaking into this complete dynamic flow of energy that can take on so many different formations. Mm-hmm. And yeah. that we just recognize that. That's, you know, my prayer for humanity and my prayer for myself as I walk every day, as I step on the planet, as I interact with all beings, that I remember that that potential actually is actually present within each being. And whether it's realized this lifetime, the next lifetime, or some other point of time and space, since time and space are actually a fabrication of our minds, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that can be realized at any point in time. So anyway, thank you for letting me have a chance to just speak to what you're working with from a little different place.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that. That is absolutely beautiful. And I'll be soaking that one up for the next week. So thanks. Thank you.
Yes, me too. Thank you, Heidi. That was really, really powerful what you've shared here.
Yeah. So grateful. I don't have anything to add other than that was beautiful. Thank you.
Beauty is part of who we are.
Yeah.
In the most fabulous way that we can't see, but actually has the potential of being seen through each of us mm-hmm. in a unique way. And yeah. I pray that that's what happens for you.
Agreed. I'm totally in agreement. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much, Heidi. Many blessings to you. Have a wonderful day. Wow. Very powerful. Okay. And Teresa, are you able to stay on for a little bit longer? We have
sure.
two hands raised. Okay. I just want to check because we're right on the hour here. Okay. So Rose, let me bring you over and then Arwen, you will be next. Hi, Rose.
Hi. My question is, the two archetypes that are most prominent in my life are the saboteur and the victim. And
what was the first one you said? The
saboteur.
The saboteur and the victim.
Mm-hmm. And the victim. And I'd like to know if there's any way I can change that. What can I do about it? Because it's causing havoc in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that you're speaking to that. There's definitely these shadow archetypes that we can also be working through. And, the victim archetype is usually comes from a place of feeling like we don't have that inner power, right? We have to, in order to create a sense of control over our circumstances, we actually, we might recreate a condition that is known, you know, so the saboteurs work similarly. Our brain is maybe creating a state that we are familiar with and therefore feel safer than being in our power, you know? So it's really interesting working with that dynamic so that, you know, when you're finding yourself feeling victimized, for one, it's really hard to be in that polarity of like, things are working against me and to actually move back into an empowered state. I don't know that that's entirely possible, really. I feel like we have to actually kind of go and deliberately like just notice that state of mind that we're in where we're like, oh, I'm noticing that I'm having some victim consciousness about this. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling betrayed. Whatever that looks like, you know, it can take so many specific forms. And
feel a victim, but I always end up in that situation.
Yeah. So you feel like other people are kind of taking power over you in the situation, or they're misusing, abusing you in some ways. Is that right? Or how would you describe how it shows up for you, I guess?
Oh, in many, many, many different ways.
Can you pick one recent one, like, that comes to mind or recent that's not too, you won't feel like you're outing someone or something?
Like my cat was stolen.
Oh, right.
Focus.
Yeah.
Or people abuse me. Yes.
Yeah.
People, I tend to, if there are several options, or mm-hmm. if there's something like my pension, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I don't get the minimum pension. I get less than the minimum pension. Now everybody uh-huh. gets the minimum pension.
Yeah. So it's always just something where you're just kind of like,
well, because I get a very small pension from England, the Austrians convert it, and uh-huh. the rate is always very different to what I get, and they use that for the whole year. So I get a hell of a lot less.
Right.
Right.
Those are good examples. No, that's good. That helps me. That helps me kind of get clear on what you're dealing with. Yeah, you know, really the only way out of victimization is to, you know, having those experiences is to choose when you're facing those moments, is to notice where your power is intact. You know, to start to notice those parts of you that are beyond that state of existence. You know, so one way is, of course, stepping into archetypes like the queen, just choosing to be like, I'm still a queen. No matter what's going on around me, I on the inside am still a queen. But on a smaller scale, I feel like it comes down to like mindfulness and taking a moment to recontextualize the experience you're having, to bring another truth, to find another truth within it, you know, not to be in the polarity of pushing against it, but to start to direct your attention towards what you do want to create, or what the positive aspect, the greater possibility that's beyond that, that's actually where you really want to put your energy and intention. Because really those things just keep coming up to mirror an inner truth of feeling like a victim. You know, the world mirrors back to us whatever we got going on inside, and we can take an opportunity when we're in that moment to just kind of go into a place of no thought and no resistance. You might not be able to have a positive thought in the moment, so it might just be a matter of taking yourself out of the moment and meditating, doing a little energy work on yourself, just something to distract your energy field from that state of being, and then start to move it toward thinking about, where do I have my power? Where are things working out for me? Where is the evidence that I am a powerful person? You know, realigning to that. I feel like Jocelyn would have some great things to say about this too, because you're so brilliant at working with this kind of dynamic as well.
Yeah, well, thank you for that, Teresa. That was very powerful. And I think, Rose, have you taken my course, the free course that's called Learning to Fly? Have you worked through that one at all?
Yeah.
Because that really invites you to look at your limiting beliefs that are there, that are like below the surface on the subconscious level, and choose what you want to believe instead. And it can take some time, right? It takes time, and it takes a lot of repetition once you have converted those into the empowering truths that you want to move into, those being your new beliefs. You know, it takes a lot of repetition. It does take some dedication to that process, but it's a really powerful process. So I would recommend circling back to that. And but I think all of this comes back to choosing, you know. So whether you want to choose a new archetype, mm-hmm. choose a new belief, it's about, you know, we really
I've tried to choose. For a long time to focus on the positive side, you know, to focus on what I want, to focus on abundance, focus on whatever, you know. But I feel it's in my unconscious.
Yeah.
It's programming from my childhood, and I just can't seem to change it.
You've probably changed more than you've acknowledged. You know, when we change, we forget the state of being that we were at before. It's just not even a part of who we are, you know? So I will say, you know, like I bet things have gotten better than you think. You know, you're on your journey. No, you don't think so?
They've gotten worse.
And you have more awareness. I mean, that's true.
I don't feel anything is working at the moment.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can like say like we're focused on something, and that of course, right, the energy behind like what's really going on under the surface, like the laws of the universe are going to follow the energy, right? Not like what we say we're focused on. or what we want to focus on and what we're like, oh, I'm going to intend so hard and then it's going to become reality. It's like, actually that almost doesn't work. I found that the best ways for me to release the resistance or to laugh at it, to just kind of acknowledge and name it and to say, oh, there's that thing again. Oh, you know, just kind of like, for one, to just kind of laugh at it instead of getting into this intense self-judgment. We immediately go into self-judgment, how we're failing, it's that kind of like sinful, like we're sinning in our head, you know, I'm not doing law of attraction right. You know, that can happen, and that takes us out of our flow. And whenever we go into judgment about like how I'm still not figuring this out, it's still happening. It's just, I can't get over this. That there's like serious self-judgment happening, and you have to go kind of like, well, there's that thing again. Let me get curious about it. You know, I'm going to get curious about it. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not bad. You know, my brain isn't bad. I'm not bad. It's just a thing that happens, and I'm still evolving, and bring some lightness of being to it. I find that works really well. And then energy work, body work, like working with practitioners who can help me shift my energetic state of being so that I'm more able to cultivate the truly positive expectations. You know, they're easier when I get some healing work done from other people. And so that's something that I think is actually can be important too.
I'd love to do that, but just don't have the money for it. The moment I'm at a point where I don't have enough money for food.
So, you know, finding visualizations on YouTube that are free. I'm sure that Jocelyn, I'm not sure if your programs have some like meditations associated with them. I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
Absolutely. You know, and there are so many. There are going to be so many free gifts from all of the speakers on this event to really dive into those that call to you. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to move on to another question, but thank you so much for your question and for your sharing today. Lots of love to you, Rose.
Thanks a lot.
Warm wishes to you.
Okay, so we have time for one more question. So let me bring Arwen over.
11:11 my time, by the way.
Okay, welcome, Arwen.
Hi, Arwen.
Hi. Thank you so much for doing this summit first. I really enjoyed it. I saw the name Teresa Pridemore, and it didn't click, and I apologize, Teresa. I'm a tarot collector, among other things. And
oh, nice.
Also run the tarot magazine. I'm going to send you an email about an article.
Oh, please.
But what I wanted to touch on and ask you to expand on was the idea of rebels without a cause, but it sounds more like rebels misdirected. And when you said that, it was like somebody just went thunk. And I thought, oh, hell, sorry, that's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
And so what is this misdirected rebel? How do you think we can redirect our own rebellious nature, particularly in a time of such political fervor? We'll just leave it at that. Sure.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you for asking that. Thank you so much. Yeah, I find that it's funny. I think that this is, again, kind of comes back again to cultivating a practice around being able to name something when you notice it happening. Noticing all the ways our rebellion shows up in small ways and large ways. It can show up in a way where we're actually resisting our greater purpose on this earth, you know, a lot of the time. And it shows up as, I think the most common one is, this isn't authentic to me. I know it's not to say that authenticity is not important, absolutely is, but we use authenticity as a red herring so often. It's not authentic for me to make money. It's not authentic for me to post on Facebook or do a mailing list or do a talk or whatever, you know? And it's usually what's on the other side of that, it's not authentic to me, is someplace where if we found our way to embrace it, the way that does feel aligned and authentic, we would actually be able to do more of what we're here to do on the planet. You know, and it is just our fears in disguise, you know, so it's like, I don't want to demonize our rebel. I've had times where I actually had this like vision quest show up one day when I was feeling really depleted and disconnected. And my rebel came to me and she said, you were telling lots of stories about me that aren't entirely honoring the fullness of who I am. I am here to keep you edgy. I am here to keep you real. I'm here to keep you vulnerable. You know, these are all the jobs that I'm here to do. Another way I think that we can, and this particular vision came to me when, at a time when I felt really, like I just lost all my drive all of a sudden. You know, I ever like had that experience where you like feel the rug pulled out from under you and you don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, I have a friend who calls it the I don't wanna's. You know, but they can, it's like a deep malaise. It's more than an I don't wanna. It's a, you know, just I don't want anything. I don't want a life. You know, I feel really disconnected. And I think that's also our rebel calling for some attention, you know. So it can happen. Like, there's two things that I find are often happening. I'm in resistance to something I gotta do to get the thing done, right? I'm afraid. I'm fearful about the next level of expansion. And then the other part of it is there's some tiny recalibration that needs to happen. Always feels like it's got to be dramatic and big. Usually it's a tiny, tiny, tiny tweak to something, an idea I have, a way I'm thinking about something. If I go into my body and I have a conversation with my inner rebel, I can honor her, and she will show me what's missing, what I'm not seeing. And if I can just start stepping into that energy and cultivating it, then I don't have any resistance to showing up and being visible and doing the work. It's just, I need to kind of fully honor whatever truth is trying to come through for me. So that's where the authenticity piece does matter. We just don't want to use it as an excuse not to do what we need to do to actually cultivate our vision, you know, make up a story about that. Is that helpful? Kind of went on a tear
absolutely
there.
Absolutely. It really does help. It kind of gives me something to think about and write about. I'm working on a project right now that this actually targets. So it's
awesome.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for asking the question. I love talking about working with our rebel, giving her a job that, you know, is going to help us. And then bringing in, I think, again, that other piece of it, bringing in the queen, letting her like not reinvent the wheel. We don't have to do everything different. You know, we can work with what works and then find our own way into that that's going to actually do what we want to do, you know. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Arwen. That was really wonderful. Have a fantastic day. Okay, awesome. And thank you, Teresa, so much for your answers to those questions. Very
fun. I love it.
Very powerful, very helpful. So yeah, I think we're about ready to wrap up here. I just want to thank you so much for all you've shared today. This has been so much fun. And yeah, I feel like we dove really deep into this topic of the archetypes and what is possible there. So
yeah, super fun. Thank you everyone for your comments. Those of you who posted in the chat and thank you for those of you who asked all those great, fantastic questions and offered so much wisdom. I just love doing Q&A. It's the best.
Yes, I agree. So yeah, thank you everyone for attending live. And also thank you those who are watching this later on as a replay. Many blessings to all of you. This is our last live interview for today, July 15th, but we will have our next live interview tomorrow, July 16th at 10 a.m. New York time. So I hope you all join us then at the same Zoom link as you used today. And in the meantime, look out for the interview with Bear Darluz, which is pre-recorded and will become available at 3 p.m. New York time. That will come out in email, so you can link into that. I hope you will enjoy it. So yeah, it's fantastic gathering with all of you here, and hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will see you tomorrow. Thanks, Teresa. Bye.